Hello and welcome to the Ozone. I'm your host, Jeff Hazard, retired Sports Information Director of SUNY Oneonta, and also the current chair of the Athletic Hall of Fame Committee. And on today's show, we're going to welcome in Sean Bernstein, class of 2014, as we get ready to induct him finally into our Athletic Hall of Fame this June 7th, 2025. So welcome to the show, Sean.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
First of all, congratulations on this well-deserved honor.
Thank you.
So what does it feel like now to be a Hall of Famer?
It honestly, it's hard to describe. It's an absolutely incredible feeling. I was actually thinking about it ahead of this conversation, thinking way back when I was a freshman, you walk through alumni field house, you see all the plaques on the wall, and I don't think at that point think, well, maybe one day, but you look up all to all these legends. So it's pretty surreal feeling to now be included with that.
Let's kind of go back to the beginning. Why did you choose Oneonta?
So let's see. So back in high school, I was, I would say, aggressively medium as an athlete. I wasn't bad, I wasn't great, somewhere kind of in between, but I knew I wanted to keep running. I loved the competitive aspect of the sport, especially, with the sprinting. Really wasn't recruited, I think, at all, other than from Amy Dawson and Oneonta. She really put in, I think, a lot of time and effort, kind of reaching out, having me come in for a visit, meet the team. And it, honestly, it was just a great fit, and I think it worked out phenomenally.
So for you, you would have been at the same time as like Joe and Eric and those guys. You were at there at they were at the end when you were at the beginning.
So they graduated right before I got there, and then I think Sean Daly was, I think, a junior my freshman year, and then Fred Romer may have been, I think, doing a fifth year. So they were both there.
So you came into a situation where, two of those guys were national champions in the relay.
Yes.
So what kind of feelings did you have about entering a program like that?
I think it was a little, I guess you could say, intimidating maybe at first, just walking in to a program that just in the last year had accomplished so much. Looking at Sean, looking at Fred, and then obviously looking at Joe, and you pull up the record book and it was just Joe's name on everything. And it was just it was pretty again, I think just surreal being surrounded by such recent legends.
Now, so did you ever, so was that the bar for you? Was it, hey, Joe Reed is could, did this, can I do better?
I don't know if that necessarily was my thinking the first couple years. I think, especially because you have to remember coming out of high school, God, I think my best 200 time was 22 mid. My best 100 was 11 something. So, kind of seeing with the times that Joe had run, it was just such a wide difference that from my standpoint, it was just, I'd love to be better and I'd love to be as good as I possibly can be. But I don't think at that time it was a, I want to beat his times. It was just such a wide gulf.
So what kind of training then did you think, you had to really get into in order to make it there?
It's funny because I think the training varied a little bit. 'Cause I know my first year it was Coach Dawson, and then she left, and then my second year was Coach LoPiccolo. And I know my sophomore year I had quite a few injuries, hamstring injuries, issues, so on. And then my junior year, that was when Joe came back, or I guess was brought into the program. And I think he really up the ante a little bit as far as the training, the intensity, and I think overall just the commitment to the program.
So obviously junior year was kind of really the breakout year, and you started to see maybe some of that hard work paying off. So what, so now you're, give me a run through on your final year, senior year. Now you're like, wow, this is where I'm at, and I can really do more.
I think from my junior year to senior year, especially, there was much more, I think, of a team dynamic. I know indoors, especially that year, we won conference, I believe. And just, I think, having everyone on the team as bought in as possible. And so looking at it not just from a what can I accomplish type standpoint to kind of what can we all accomplish together, getting, the 4x1 to nationals, for example, was a monumental feat.
And then you certainly won the national title in that
Which
senior year, which was pretty great.
that was incredible.
Because you had done it as an individual, but now you had a relay and an opportunity to do that. So what was the difference between the kind of the team, like you said? Because everybody does think of track as everybody's an individual and you're kind of doing your own thing.
I think especially with the 4x1, like you said, with the 100 and the 200, it kind of success, rose or fell based on myself, and there was really no other factors there. Whereas the 4x1, hundreds of hours with relay handoffs, if someone was up all night the night before, it's just the success was less dependent on one individual versus the kind of overall commitment and buy-in, I think, from everyone, which is very much, I think, a different dynamic. And thankfully, at that time, the four of us were equally bought in, and we kind of had that equal mindset of what we wanted to accomplish. We knew we could accomplish it, and thankfully, we had perfect handoffs that day, and it all worked out.
For those who had an opportunity to, either witness it or watch the video, it was like when it came your time, you were number two, right? In the relay.
Yes.
It was like somebody shot you out of a cannon. And I think you might have been equal at the end of the first handoff, but not at the second handoff. So that must, and then it was what, Joe Carr is the third, was third on that team?
Joe to Jake Alvin as the anchor leg.
Who still holds all our records in the hurdles. I mean, so that was quite an assemblance of runners, sprinters, who could do a bunch of different things. I mean, because of course, Joe, could go all the way up to the 400 and really made a home there. So having those kind of guys together, what was that like?
I think having that group dynamic, I realistically, especially at practice, having that group together at practice, being able to train together. Obviously, Jake, oftentimes would be doing separate hurdle workouts, but having Joe at practice, having Tommy Wheeler at practice, kind of having that competitive, I think, dynamic of, I was always say, I want to beat him at practice. He wants to beat me at practice. But it was kind of that friendly competitiveness that really upped the intensity that ultimately just made us all equally better.
I mean, obviously you've accomplished so much as a student athlete. I mean, multi All-American, SUNYAC champion, national champion, probably one of the three or four most decorated student athletes we've ever had. Like you said, when you entered the program, when did you think some of that was possible, like to be that accomplished?
Oh man, probably not until nearly the end. And to be honest with you, I think a lot of it was, and I do credit this a lot to my ultimate success, was I think one of Joe's coaching philosophies was to focus, I guess you could say, more on the process than, I guess, the end goal or, what you hope to achieve. And a lot of that really played out at individual meets. He would really drive home. Each meet is just the meet. It's just 100. It's just a 200. It doesn't matter that it's, some nothing meet in April or the national championships. It's all the same thing. You're doing the same, preparation, same process, same result. And I think, I always laugh, when I won that first national championship in 2012. I mean, it probably took me about 6 weeks to finally, sitting in my car, have it really finally dawn on me of the significance of that achievement. Because even after that meet, it was really just a, okay, what's next, Joe? Where's the next meet? What's the next step? What's the next? It was just all kind of part of that, process.
So post graduation, along with earning a multiple, like term, more degrees, which you're currently working on, your law degree, which we hope you'll get by the time you're inducted, right, in
That's
May.
the plan.
Yeah, that's awesome. Congratulations.
Last semester. Thank you.
So you have done some coaching in a couple of
Yes.
the places that you were at. So how was the transition between being a student athlete to a coach?
I think it was a fairly natural transition, a little bit, mainly because I think I was able to learn so much from, I think, all my coaches, but from Joe and from Angelo, not just kind of from the coaching philosophy and what they were doing in the track, but some of the off-track things, again, the commitment, the buy-in, some of the things it takes to be successful that I was really able to kind of absorb and instill myself. I
Right.
think from, becoming a coach, it was, I saw what worked. I could see what didn't work, both, again, physically and mentally. And so I was able to really instill that or try my best to instill that with, my future athletes.
Yeah. So, was becoming a lawyer part of the deal? Was that always something that you wanted to do?
I think probably deep down, I think it was maybe pursue this path or go into coaching. I think at the time, coaching was just such a natural transition
Yeah.
for my career. Going to San Jose, and again, I credit Joe a lot with that because he was the one who told me, look, if you really are serious about coaching, something that future employers will look for is a master's.
Right.
So you shouldn't wait. You should go, straight from undergrad to try and pursue that master's. And so that's what eventually led me to San Jose, and then from San Jose over to VMI.
Right. So you're currently, again, so you're working on your law degree at Washington and Lee
Yes.
University. So how do you think your Oneana experience helped you in other ways, besides the athletic success, but now that you're, I mean, it's not easy to get a law degree, let's face it, right? I mean, so how do you think some of your academic preparation helped you as well?
I think part of it is, I would say, I don't say overcoming adversity, but from the athletic standpoint of learning to handle defeat, learning to handle things that come in your way, whether it's injuries or times you don't like. And then from the academic standpoint, I think really learning to balance the demands academically of, being a mass communications major, being a philosophy major, which understandably are not the, I would say, toughest of majors, but still trying to balance that with the travel constraints, with the practice for 3 hours a day constraints, and really making both of them work without one falling off.
Right.
And I certainly think that's helped a lot in my professional life, and certainly now having a family, trying to balance everything academically with family life, and I think it's been incredible.
Right. So now, so coming from high school to college, do you feel that that might have been the first thing to learn is maybe that time management?
I think so. I
Yeah.
think that was a big, it probably took me a number of semesters to really, I think, get that down and really be able to balance, all that newfound independence of,
Right.
no one's gonna call your parents if you skip class, or no one's gonna, say this if you skip class. And, I always used to remember Joe saying, I can't force you to want to be here. I
Right.
can't force you to show up to practice. Well, I can maybe force you to show up to practice, but I can't
Right.
force you to try. That's something that you have to do yourself.
Right. So do you think that once you started seeing some of that athletic success, it actually maybe helped on the other side?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think it did go all hand in hand. Really that transition from that sophomore year to junior year. I certainly think there was a marked change and my attitude and my commitment both on the track and off the track. And I think one really did naturally affect the other.
Right. So, rivalries, right? The guy that you went head to head with in the 100 and the 200 at Nationals.
Thurgood Dennis.
Yes. Oh my God, what battles those were, right? What?
Those were fun.
Yeah, talk about that because, one of the great pictures that we got from Nationals was you like crossing the finish line and kind of looking to your right or whatever left, and he's right there on your shoulder, but you got him. It was like hundreds of seconds that you got him.
Was.
Yeah, talk about that rivalry and why you think that maybe motivated you, drove you, that kind of thing.
I did love running against him. I always wish, him being from a Wisconsin school, I was able to compete against him more. I remember at Nationals, it was always a sense of, the 100 might be your better event, but we'll see. The 200 is my better event, and we'll
Right.
see. And of course, naturally, that tended to balance itself out. And it was a very, I would say, cordial, friendly type rivalry. And, I think both of us always had the sense of, whether I win the 100 or you win the 100 or vice, the 200, no third party was winning either of these two events. It was
Right,
going to
right.
come down to you or me. And I
Right.
think that really kind of upped the ante a little bit as far as, especially in the finals when the gun went off, it was not, you versus me versus six other people. It was you versus me, and then we'll see.
Right. Did you keep track of his weekly results? Were you looking, peeking, seeing how he was doing?
A little bit, I think. I tried not to as much, but
Yeah.
it was hard not to, as you go on to T-Furs. I think that was,
Yep.
and kind of every week on Sundays you hit the refresh button and see where you are.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, in a most people think, you see those kind of rivalries, guys that run against each other in Division One for like 4 years and everybody knows who they are. And you know what I mean? I mean, so it really wasn't until that June year that you kind of discovered each other, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And you both had to break out. I mean, the two of you for 2 years were that was
And
it.
unfortunately, they didn't, I think, institute the indoor 200 until after my senior year,
Yeah,
which
that was
I was always a little salty about that, but
yeah.
it's neither here nor there.
What else about your Oneonta experience that maybe you'd like to, highlight, whether it's athletic or, just your experience overall?
Experience overall, it feels, I think there's some days where it feels like it was last year, and just, I think, thinking back, some of the things I was able to accomplish and the memories, and really nothing I was able to do was really through any of my own solo doing. I think it was really dependent on, my teammates. I think the overall culture that we were able to build, my fantastic coaches,
Right.
Joe, I still tease him every now and then for, coaching me my junior year, and then leaving. But Angelo came right in, filled the gap, and he really picked up, I think, where Joe left off, with the same, type coaching philosophy, both workouts wise and then everything else. And it really just was such a really once in a lifetime type experience, what the whole 4 years, but really specifically, I think, those 2 years.
Right. And as we know, it no matter the parts from the coaching end, it seemed like the philosophy was always the same, from Matt to Angelo to Mike Schmidt to Joe Reed, all those guys,
Yes.
boom, boom, boom. And you could see the success in all areas, not just the sprinters, but we finally got some throwers and we started to excel there, and we got some jumpers and we were getting all Americans there. I mean, so it kind of was, like you said, the culture of building something and being a part of it. Because, if you look at that 10-year span, probably from like 2007 to like, just after you, because we still had, Pat Weinert and J.D. Roth and those guys, we really had it going on. So what do you think, was it really just all about the student athletes, or what do you say, that buy-in and the commitment to everything?
I think that buy-in was, in my opinion, the biggest thing. And I always say that's, especially having coached at the D1 level for 8 some odd years, I think sometimes it's easier to say, well, we have, a scholarship we can kind of use as leverage to make sure you are bought in, versus at the D3 level, it's really a, individual buy-in. It's a, you have to be wanting to put in the time and the effort to do what you need to do to be successful. And
Right.
I certainly had teammates over the years who just grew tired, just didn't want to do it anymore, and they just quit. And now, it was what it was versus, especially in that area with all those people you just mentioned, I think everyone had that very similar singular focus of, I want to be the best I can be, both for myself and for what it can do for the team dynamic as a whole.
Anybody you'd like to give a shout out to?
Oh man, there's a lot of people. I know, I would say, God, first and foremost, probably my parents deserve the biggest shout out. They were able to come to, I think, like almost every single, I'd be hard pressed to think of a meet they didn't come to. Traveling for nationals, conference, ECACs, home meets. We still have plenty of old footage. I'm sure that's still on YouTube that my dad took, throughout the years, which is, I think, looking back is nice to have that. And then Joe and Angelo, I think were such big parts of why I was able to find success. And I think everything they were able to instill, and especially again looking from that sophomore year to junior year type transition. I still remember coming off of an injury, probably complained too much. And I think Joe really sat me down and said, this is kind of the pivotal moment of which direction your career is going to go into. And, training with him that summer and really, again, and just, I think, buying in and refocusing my goals and what I want to accomplish.
Well, once again, we want to congratulate you on this honor and look
Thank you.
forward to inviting you back with all your family and friends. And
We're excited. I'm excited to show my family Oneonta.
it's going to be great. When was the last time you were on campus?
It was 6 to 8 years. It's been a while. I know my wife had, I took her to campus once. I think she saw the mural there, but I'm excited to bring my, my daughter will be 3 soon. My son will be 1 soon. So
Awesome.
they might not remember the ceremony, but it'll be really exciting to be able to bring them to campus.
Well, we're certainly looking forward to celebrating your accomplishments, and it's going to be great to share with everyone.
Thank you.
Congratulations once again, and we'll see you on June 7th, 2025.
Thank you. I cannot wait.